anxiety can arise without any clear trigger. The reality of anxiety is everything feels overwhelming and it just starts to ruminate. So as I'm stressing about what's going to happen and I'm playing through the worst case scenarios in my mind, my body is responding to that perceived threat that hasn't even happened yet and may not even happen. Welcome to the Core Happiness Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Banks, a mindset and positive psychology coach. On this podcast, we discuss all things related to creating happiness from within. So let's do it. Welcome back to the show. If you tune in a lot, you know that Core Happiness is a place where we just talk about overcoming obstacles that get in the way of being happy or finding happiness. We talk a lot about wellness and just dealing with everyday stressors. But the thing we don't talk about is anxiety. And I think because a lot of times when someone is dealing with anxiety, we're quick to say, oh, you know, you're just dealing with some stress. It's fine. It's normal. But with the rise of anxiety, with so many people dealing with different stages of anxiety, from just the occasional worry to chronic anxiety, I think it's important to talk about the difference between anxiety and stress, and then also talk about scientifically backed insights about anxiety to help us understand it, but then look at what actionable strategies or practical tips are there that we can use to navigate our anxiety with greater ease. So that's what we're going to dive into today. If you have ever dealt with anxiety, had an anxiety attack, or just overall want to know more about anxiety, this is the episode for you. Before we go any further, I do need to note, I am not a medical professional. Any information provided in this episode or through Core Happiness is designed as supplemental support system, and it exists only to aid as additional support to any external medical or professional advice you may receive. So with that said, let's dive in. First, I want to talk about understanding anxiety and the effects that it has on the body. Now, most of us experience anxiety, and most of us have heard of the fight or flight response. It's our body's natural response, and it kicks into high gear. It is designed to protect us in threatening situations by releasing hormones like adrenaline or cortisol, and it allows us to confront a threat or flee from it. Now, this was extremely important back in the day, beginning of man, when we had to hunt for food, when we were out in the wild and things that would threaten us on a day-to-day basis. If you were out hunting for food or you were out being a gatherer and you were approached by a bear or a lion or something to that effect, fight or flee. It's a natural body mechanism that we are designed this way to help protect us. Over time, obviously, we don't have those types of stressors. Most of the time when we are triggered by something, even though our body is still designed in the same way and we still go into fight or flight response, our triggers are usually not as detrimental. We most of the time are not faced with a life or death situation, but it feels like sometimes that we are because our body's operating the same way. Our hormones are operating in the exact same way. So in addition to emotional symptoms like worry, fear, anxiety can also manifest physically. If you ever experienced rapid heartbeats, sweating, muscle tension, these physical symptoms can often be alarming. And if you don't know what an anxiety attack is and you don't know what it feels like, if you have one for the first time, it can be scary. I had my first anxiety attack in my early 30s. And I'll tell you what, I thought for sure I was having a heart attack. And I say first because I've had probably two or three in my lifetime, two that I went to the hospital for, like the ER for, because I legitimately thought I was dying. I was like, this is not right. My body's shutting down. My heart is going crazy. I have chest pains. I'm getting numbness. Like, I genuinely thought I was having a heart attack, only to go to the ER. They rush me through because they're like, oh my gosh, this woman is way too young to be having a heart attack and having symptoms, only to find out that it was an anxiety attack. After all the tests and the high hospital bills, to find out that I have an anxiety attack. Now, I say that that is my experience that I'm sharing with you. However, if you are experiencing this, by all means, go to the hospital, always be safe, play it safe, and just make sure that you get checked out. Make sure that you get that peace of mind. But all that to say that when you are having chronic anxiety, it can be completely overwhelming. It can cause a huge sense of unease and discomfort. And it's important to recognize the interconnectedness between the mind and the body. What goes on in our mind creates our reality for our body. And we've talked about this a lot in this podcast. But it is important when addressing anxiety to understand that, because the strategies that promote physical relaxation can also help calm your mind. Before we go further into anxiety and things that we can do to help with anxiety, I want to talk about the difference between anxiety and stress. As I said in the beginning, a lot of times when somebody says that they're feeling anxious or they're having anxiety, we're like, you know what? You're just stressed about something. It's okay. Calm down. But there is a difference between the two. So I want to clarify the distinction. While the terms can be used interchangeably, the experiences are actually very, very different. So let's start with stress. Stress is a natural response to external pressures or demands such as deadlines, responsibilities, challenging situations, sometimes what we just call adulting, to be honest. In moderation, stress can be motivating. It can help us perform at our best. For those people who are like, I perform well under stress, I can cram for a test, I can get things done quicker if I'm up against a deadline. Sometimes we can use stress as a motivator. However, stress can become very overwhelming or even chronic, which can lead to negative consequences for our physical and mental health, which we talk about a lot on this podcast. Now, anxiety, on the other hand, is often characterized by not just worrying and fear, but excessive worry and fear about future events or situations. And yes, that also is accompanied by physical symptoms. But unlike stress, which is typically tied to a specific stressor, anxiety can arise without any clear trigger. And it can often be disproportionate to the perceived threat. Because the reality of anxiety is everything feels overwhelming. And the reality of anxiety, because it's disproportionate to the threat, and it just starts to ruminate. Like, if I walk into this room full of people, I, one, am not an extrovert. I'm an introvert. I'm going to have to do a whole bunch of small talk. People are then going to be like, why is she so awkward? Then they're going to think, oh my gosh, this girl's crazy. It starts to go down an entire different spiral. Now, my anxiety towards that, the more I think about it and the more I ruminate on it and the longer I let it go in my mind, my anxiety grows. Again, mind-body connection. So as I'm stressing about what's going to happen in this social situation and I'm playing through the worst case scenarios in my mind, my body is responding to that perceived threat that hasn't even happened yet. And it's disproportionate because my body will go into full-on panic mode, potentially even a full-on shutdown mode, because of what my mind is playing through, even though the scenario has not even happened yet and may not even happen. So while stress and anxiety share some similarities, especially because of the physical symptoms and because of the mind-body connection, understanding the distinction between the two is crucial for effective management. So strategies for managing stress usually focus on problem solving and time management. When we're feeling overwhelmed, what can we do to try to control the situation? If we're feeling pressure, what can we do to try to release the pressure? A lot of that comes back to self-care and boundaries and things like that. Strategies for managing anxiety often involve techniques for calming the mind and promotion of relaxation for the mind and the body. You may have noticed in recent years, there has been a very noticeable increase in people who suffer from anxiety disorders, and more people are talking about mental health and anxiety. And this is because there are several factors that contribute and various reasons that are causing this, from societal pressures to environmental influences. All of these things affect our mental health. And technological advances and information overload is the main cause of the rise of anxiety. This whole digital age has brought about unprecedented levels of connectivity and access to information, some which can be beneficial and convenient, others can be detrimental. It has created a constant barrage of stimuli that can be overwhelming sometimes. How do you know when to disconnect? And as we've learned with social media lately, like a lot of times social media is programmed to be addictive And then we also know social media in particular has been linked to increased feelings of anxiety and stress. So as people compare themselves to others, you feel pressure to curate a perfect online image. And as we know, what you see on Instagram or TikTok may not be somebody's real life. Nobody really shares the ugly, right? They share what they want you to see. Social media in general is all about smoke and mirrors. And even though we know that, how many of us still scroll? We still look and we're like, oh man, I wish I could take that vacation. I wish I had that home. I wish my kids were that well-behaved. We just go down the rabbit hole of comparison because it's natural for us to compare. But at the same time, to this extent, with this much stimuli and how constant it is not normal. And that pressure is not normal. Now, speaking of pressure, there's also economic pressures and uncertainty, especially now when you have economic instability, job insecurity, the rise of living costs, inflation. All of that can contribute to heightened levels of anxiety. When we talk about ruminating on things that haven't even happened yet, economical pressures, monetary strains are at the top of it. Even if you're not going through a strain right now, looking around and seeing people getting laid off or thinking about the future and thinking about kids going off to college and who's going to cover that, and who's going to pay for that, thinking about retirement. We will think about these things and sometimes we'll start trying to go through worst case scenarios. And we do it because we think that that is going to protect us. We think if we think through the worst case scenario, we will somehow be more prepared. But really all of that does is create a lot of anxiety in our mind. We think about worst case scenario, we start to panic, and then again, our body responds in the same way. We also have that pressure to succeed, especially in a very competitive job market. We want to meet our financial obligations. We want to do our best. We want to make sure that we're not part of the ones that get laid off or get fired. And in order to hold on to this and take care of this and make sure the kid goes to college and make sure that I can have retirement, got to hold on to this job. All of that can take a mental toll on our well-being because we're just worried about the future. And then sometimes it creates this feeling of inadequacy. I need to constantly do more. I need to prove myself. I need to be accessible. I need to not log off at the end of the day. I need to show that I'm a team player. I need to do. And it's a lot. And then we can go into social and political turmoil. I mean, we've seen that recently just in the last few years. Political unrest, social injustice, global crisis, wars, COVID pandemic. All of those things have created a sense of uncertainty and insecurity. And that constant exposure to negative news and societal tensions can heighten feelings of anxiety and contribute to heightened sense of threat perception. Growing up, I grew up in a neighborhood, and even though it was in Georgia and it was in the South, I mean, it was lovely, honestly. I was one of the few minorities in the neighborhood, one of four. I could literally count on one hand. But I never felt unwelcomed as a child. In fact, my neighbors would allow me to come hang over at their house after school. My one neighbor who worked in film and television let me play dress up. She had like a whole thing, a whole theater attic. I just would go and play dress up. Another neighbor would let me come over and hang out with her kids, and we would watch TV and have snacks and like run around. We'd go into the pool. I mean, we would have cul-de-sac parties or block parties where everybody would just bring out their tables and food. And like, you would ride bikes down the street and have fun. But now we live in such an area of threat. It's like, how many of us can truly say that we know our neighbors nowadays? We just hear on the news the other day that a young teenage girl went to the wrong house and was just turning around and was shot and killed because the homeowner felt threatened by someone just pulling into their driveway simply to turn around. So when we think about the constant exposure to negative news and what it's doing to us as a society, that alone could explain why especially so many young people even are having so much anxiety. Forget adulting. Young people, children are going through unprecedented times that my generation, my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation didn't have to go through in terms of this level of heightened threat on a constant basis. And then we can also look at the change in social dynamics, increasing the emphasis on productivity, achievement, perfectionism, creating unrealistic standards that fuel that feeling of inadequacy and self-doubt. And then you have environmental factors, the hectic pace of modern life and the disconnection from nature, the exposure to pollution and noise, like all of it, all of those environmental factors also play a role in anxiety. So I say all that in that list just to recognize that individual experiences of anxiety are influenced by a multitude of factors. It can even be genetics. It could be your upbringing. It could be personal circumstances. But by understanding the broader societal trends that shape the prevalence of anxiety, my hope is that we can work towards creating a more supportive environment, creating more dialogue around it, normalizing dealing with anxiety so we can promote mental well-being. So let's talk about practical tips for managing anxiety. Now, doing research for this, I wanted to make sure that we found strategies that are grounded in scientific research and that have been shown to be effective in reducing anxiety symptoms. Now, as I said before, this is simply to help support any other professional advice. So after seeking professional advice, if you need to, you could also try to incorporate these tips into your routine. Number one, which is always one of my favorites, practice deep breathing. We don't put enough emphasis on deep breathing and the effects that it has, not just on the body, but on the mind. Deep breathing activates our body's relaxation response. It triggers the parasympathetic nervous system to counteract the stress response. So when you feel like you're going into that fight or flight response, deep breathing has been proven to counteract that response. Focusing on slow, deep breaths, you can regulate your heart rate and promote feelings of calmness and relaxation. Here's an example of what that could look like. Set aside a few minutes each day, find a quiet space, sit or lie down, whatever's comfortable. Take slow, deep breaths through your nose and out through your mouth. You can also try guided breathing exercises or guided meditations. There's so many available online, even on Core Happiness, but just box breathing is another thing where you breathe, or you can breathe in for the count of four, out for the count of four. There's so many different breathing techniques that you can try, but try incorporating breathing techniques for just a few minutes each day. Doesn't have to be long. If you're a person who's like, I can't do meditation, doesn't work for me, I can't sit still that long, doesn't have to be long. Most of us have smartwatches that have a relaxation mode on it. And I think the default is 2 minutes. Give it 2 minutes. I think you can choose from 2 or 5 minutes. Go 2 minutes. 5 if you can. If not, try 2. Second tip is engage in some sort of physical activity. We know that exercise is just a natural mood enhancer, right? Because it releases the endorphins. It reduces level of stress. It reduces the cortisol. But it also helps to distract from our negative thoughts. The more that we are being physical, that distraction can be a healthy distraction. It also will improve your sleep quality. And because you usually feel better, maybe not during, but you usually feel better after the physical activity, that also helps to boost your self-esteem. So an example of this could be taking short walks. I know lunches used to be the greatest time to just sit down and eat lunch and then maybe go take a walk outside for 15 minutes. You could join a fitness class. You could ride a bike. Just find activities that you enjoy and just make them a part of your regular schedule. It doesn't have to be strenuous. It doesn't have to be a full-on gym routine. It doesn't have to be hours on a treadmill. Just anything small that you find enjoyable. The next tip is to limit caffeine and alcohol. We all know that caffeine and alcohol can increase feelings of anxiety. It increases your heart rate. It can disturb your sleep patterns. So it's best to just avoid these substances altogether when you're trying to stabilize your mood. Replace caffeinated beverages with herbal teas or decaf options even. That's pretty simple. If you are going out and you're like, oh, but geez, I don't like being in public and then I'm a social drinker and that's weird because then people are like, why aren't you drinking? You know what? Order a mocktail. Choose a non-alcoholic beverage. But gradually reducing your intake of caffeine and alcohol will lead to long-term benefits, not just for your mental health, but also for your physical well-being. The next step is practice mindfulness and meditation. Now, mindfulness is usually easiest explained by just being present. Work on being present in the moment. Work on being present with your body, on just acknowledging what you feel. Just be aware of triggers. Your body will talk to you. Mindfulness sometimes is as simple as listening to what your body is telling you. Focus on your mind-body connection. And in those moments, you're just cultivating being present, creating awareness, and non-judgmental acceptance of your thoughts and emotions. Let them come. Acknowledge them. Don't try to hide them. Don't try to suppress them. That's being mindful. what's happening in your mind and how is it affecting your body. Meditation techniques usually focus on breathing, body scanning, and also relaxing the mind. So just start with a short meditation session, 5 minutes, gradually increase the duration as you become more comfortable. You can play with the time. Maybe you can do it in the morning or before bedtime. Some people do walking meditations, but just try to be present in anything that you're doing, any sensory experience. Like, you can be present and mindful while eating dinner. You can be present and mindful while washing dishes. Just bring your full attention to where you are in the moment. And you don't have to be alone. You can be fully present when you're with someone you enjoy being around, a friend, significant other, family. Focus on being present. That will stop you from ruminating on something that's going to happen in the future or that hasn't even happened yet, or perceiving a threat when there isn't a threat. And then, as I said before, seek support. A mental health professional can provide validation, perspectives, and maybe medical support if you need it, but they can help with coping strategies. You can also talk to a trusted friend, talk to a family member, but having that societal support will help create a buffer against all the negative effects that can happen when you have anxiety, and it can just help increase the sense of connection and belonging. A lot of times when we are having anxiety, we are feeling like nobody's going to understand this. Nobody's going to get this, right? It's because of what's playing out in our mind. How could anyone possibly understand it unless they're in my head, unless they're in my body, unless they're feeling this? But when you seek that support, sometimes having the validation, having a sense of connection, having a sense of belonging will help you. You can reach out to friends, family. You can just share your experience. You can even join a support group or therapy sessions where you can connect with others who understand what you're going through, who understand what it's like to deal with anxiety, who understand the various levels of anxiety. So don't hesitate to seek help if you're struggling to cope with anxiety on your own, because I can tell you, you are not alone. Just remember that small changes can make a significant difference over time. So just be patient and be compassionate with yourself. We've covered a lot of ground in today's episode, from understanding the nature of anxiety to practical tips for managing everyday stressors. If you're struggling with anxiety, again, just know that you're not alone. Anxiety is very common. It affects millions of people worldwide, and there are so many resources now that are available to support and help you as you navigate through it. But it's just important to remember that managing anxiety is a journey, and what works for one person may not work for another. So when I say be patient and compassionate with yourself, that's what I mean. You may need to explore different coping mechanisms. You may need to try different things to find what works best for you. And remember, it is okay to ask for help when you need it. Any step is a good step towards healing. So whether it's reaching out to a therapist, joining a support group, confiding in a friend, talking to a family member, anything. Before we wrap up, I want to recognize that while the information shared on this podcast is based on scientific research and expert insights, it should not be taken as a substitute for professional advice. If you're struggling with anxiety or any mental health issue, please seek support from a qualified healthcare professional who can provide personalized guidance and support tailored to your needs. Above all, know that you are capable of overcoming anxiety and living a fulfilling life. You have the strength and the resilience within you to face whatever challenges come your way. Take each day as it comes, be gentle with yourself, be kind to yourself, and never hesitate to reach out when you need help. That's all we have for today. Until next time, take care, be well, and remember to breathe. I thank you for joining me today. If you enjoyed this podcast, please feel free to rate it or leave a review. If you have any thoughts or questions, I would love to hear from you. You can email podcast@corehappiness.com. For show notes and additional resources, you can visit www.corehappiness.com. As always, please remember, never let anyone diminish your light. Until next time, sending you my love.